the people closest to the pain should be closest to the power. Let's hear that again. The people closest to the pain should be the closest to the power. Sound familiar? A prophetic voice, like our prophet in the 40th chapter of Isaiah, verse 29. God gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Isaiah is a prophet with a promise. Not only should the people closest to the pain be closest to the power, the people closest to the pain will be closest to the power, God's power. For God gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. The people closest to the pain should be closest to the power. A prophetic voice like the voice that sings hallelujahs in Psalm 147. Hallelujah! How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant it is to honor God with praise. The Lord who rebuilds Jerusalem and gathers the exiles of Israel. The Lord who heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Which Lord? The Lord who counts the number of the stars and calls them all by their names. That's the breadth and depth of the power that the people closest to the pain will be closest to, power with limitless wisdom. The people closest to the pain should be closest to the power. What kind of pain are we talking about? For both the prophet Isaiah of the 40th chapter and the psalmist singing in 147, it's the pain of wounds that are deep and wide and very old. For this kind of pain, trauma might be a better word. The people closest to the trauma should be closest to the power. Trauma, writes Deanna Thompson in her book, Glimpsing Resurrection, is the suffering that remains in the aftermath of events that threaten to overwhelm the ability to function. Trauma, the suffering that remains. And trauma can be individual. Thompson grounds her book in her own trauma, the trauma of living with stage 4 cancer, traumas that she comes to see as its own kind of PTSD, post-traumatic stress syndrome, trauma for which time is not the answer to healing all wounds, trauma you can't just get over. Trauma can also be collective, like the trauma of a people forcibly removed from their homeland, the collective trauma of a people in exile. That's the suffering addressed in today's readings from Psalm 147 and Isaiah chapter 40. Deportation was one of the methods used by Babylonian conquerors to prevent the conquered from mounting a rebellion. Jerusalem was besieged in 587 before the Common Era by King Nebuchadnezzar. Subsequently, a large portion of the population of Jerusalem was forcibly relocated to Babylonia. 49 years later, in 538, when the Persian king Cyrus, who had conquered the Babylonians, when King Cyrus decided or was divinely inspired to send the Israelites back home, the Israelites' exile had spanned 3 generations, leaving only a handful of Israelites with any lived memory of Jerusalem. In Isaiah 40, it sounds like the prophet, on behalf of God, feels the need to berate the traumatized exiles for forgetting the cosmic dimensions of their God's power. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is God who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. God who stretches out the heavens like a curtain. Yet considering the duration of Israel's suffering, who can blame them? Trauma takes many forms, including numbness, amnesia, loss of a sense of selfhood, all variations of the despair and exhaustion of nearly perpetual brokenheartedness. But, proclaims the prophet, ultimately God chooses compassion over shame. And the Lord gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. The people closest to the pain should be and will be closest to the power. And not only is that the defining promise for God's people, it is the defining principle for daily life. To be loved by such power has consequences. Love is not a status, it's a verb, it's dynamic, to live close to God. The whole world in God's hands, close, means seeing up close how power, according to the author of creation, works in real time. It's the power embodied in the Word made flesh, in Jesus. When Jesus comes teaching, healing, and evicting demons from the places in people's lives where love is meant to live, when Jesus announces the kingdom of God has come close, what God knows, we now get to know. How God sees suffering, we get to see. God's limitless wisdom becomes our wisdom. And as God acts on that wisdom in the living, dying, and rising up of Jesus, so we are called to live and act and rise up where we live. The people closest to the pain shall be the closest to the power. To see how this promise works in principle, we can take a good look at our gospel from Mark this morning. A woman is in pain. She's being forcibly and feverishly occupied by disease. Where many would keep their distance, Jesus comes close. He was invited, but he was already on his way. Jesus enters into her space and evicts the illness, frees her from her suffering, and up she rises and serves, which honestly might not sound all that great at first, for would the men have gone hungry had she not been able to cook their dinner? But here's the thing, what we discover when we look at the Greek behind this word for serving. The kind of serving she rises to has nothing to do with the limits associated with narrowly defined and gendered duties of the senior woman of the house. The word we want to understand here is diakonia. The mother of Peter's beloved is lifted up out of suffering by Jesus for diakonia. And the verb related, to that noun, service, with enormous power. This Greek word for serving, diakonia, it only comes up twice in the gospel according to Mark, both times in the first chapter. First of all, before we come to today's story, diakonia happens when Jesus is the one suffering and in need. Jesus, driven by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days of being menaced by Satan and wild beasts. And right there, into that wilderness, the wilderness of Jesus' trauma, God sends messengers of power, Greek word for messenger, angelon, angeloi, also known as angels. Messengers of divine power come close to be with Jesus. And what do they serve? Do they wait on him? They serve. They diakonia Jesus. They exercise power on Jesus' behalf in the menacing presence of Satan and wild beasts. Powerful, powerful compassion. The same power by which and for which the woman in today's gospel rises up. The people closest to the pain should be closest to the power. Thus spoke the prophet and congresswoman, Ayanna Pressley, on Zoom this past Tuesday. Congresswoman Pressley was the featured speaker on the Zoom program Rocks Talks, sponsored by the Roxbury Children's Center. Before her election to serve the 7th District of Massachusetts in the House of Representatives, Pressley served as a Boston City Councilor at large. And before that, before coming to study at Boston University, Ayanna Pressley grew up in Chicago and attended Rain or Shine Baptist Church, where her grandfather, James Eccles, served as pastor. And when, on Tuesday, having already spent considerable time marinating in these scriptures for today, when on Tuesday I heard the Honorable Ms. Pressley summarize her call to service, the promise and the principle that gets her out of bed every morning, she spoke these words, these exact words. The people closest to the pain should be closest to the power. And I said, that will preach. And it does. Amen.